Welcome back. Welcome back. We are live once again. Live on AMP, y'all. Some Dude Show. I am your glorious host, Cuffs the Legend, once again. We tuning in tonight, y'all. First off, it's a lot to unpack from this weekend. Before we get started, I just got to say, from the bottom of my heart, go Buffs, baby. Deion Sanders, childhood. That's my childhood idol out there coaching those Colorado Buffaloes, bro. I don't know about y'all, but I was overwhelmed with emotion. Like, I had a few tears. I had a couple fresh saltwater tears in my eyes, y'all. That was glorious, man. Deion Sanders taking those Buffs. You know, I've been a Buffs fan. I've been a Colorado Buffs. I've been a Buffs fan since the early 90s. You know, Darian Hagan, Eric Bieniemy days, Rashawn Salaam, Charles Johnson. I've been there. So my new nickname, if y'all don't know, starting tonight, live on AMP, the Some Dude Show. We are here. Go Buffs. My new nickname is official. It's official, y'all. For the rest of this fall coming up in the winter, these glorious football months of the year, I'm not some dude anymore. I don't want to be called that. My new nickname as of tonight, right here, Some Dude Show. The new nickname for your boy. I am Buffington Cuffington. Buffington Cuffington. That's the hashtag. That's the nickname now. We're going to get this shit started, man. Activate the chat. You know, normally I like to see those helicopter emojis, but tonight I need to see those buffaloes. I need to see those buffalo emojis in the chat. Shout out to everybody in the Some Dude Discord as well. That y'all some crazy motherfuckers. I got to be honest, man. One thing about the Some Dude Discord, y'all, it don't matter what time it is, 24/7, 365, these lunatics that's in my Discord, they talking basketball, they talking football. They keeping it spicy. Y'all keeping it spicy 24/7. I don't know when some of y'all get a chance to go to sleep, but I appreciate y'all. I see you chives with the Buffalo. Keep it active tonight in the chat, y'all. If you got Q&A for the guests, if you got some shit to get off your chest, put it in the chat. I will see it. I will try to comment as we get things going. But we got a special guest pulling up, man, right out the gate tonight, man. I'm going to try to get my co-host online. Just give me a second here. My co-host pulling up. Got a special guest pulling up, man. Go Buffs. Deion Sanders' is time. It's the prime era. The prime era. My co-host just pulled up live from Charlotte, North Carolina. Anthony Morrow. Your favorite sharpshooter's favorite sharpshooter.
Oh, Anthony. It's on.
Bro, how you feel about Deion Sanders going into...
Bro, that's monumental, brother.
Bro,
like, that's a different kind of feeling for a football. To watch that game in full, like to watch it in full and see that in the press conference after, that's legendary, bro. That's for the culture for real. You know what I'm saying?
For the culture, that's a win for everybody. And I want to say one of the most beautiful things and one of the most beautiful components of that Deion Sanders Colorado victory yesterday is a lot of people going look at that and say different things, but I think it's a lot of racial undertones in the media. A lot of people didn't want to see Deion flourish. They didn't want to see him do this.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of skeptical people. A lot of people been throwing stones at Deion, and you can tell by some of his post-game remarks that he was talking real spicy. Deion Sanders kept it spicy.
He kept it spicy. Yes, sir. And he was going crazy, bro.
And one thing I love, man, like, not only was Deion Sanders talking spicy, but his players were talking spicy because they put the work in. They put the work in.
Right. Right. And I like, that's the number one thing. Number one thing I always say is the fact that he coaches like he played, you know, his attitude and that confidence, he's coaching like that. Coaches don't like seeing it. And I think that's like that in all sports. You know, if Mike and Magic, you know, if Magic was successful as a coach for the Lakers, a lot of other GMs and coaches probably wouldn't like that as much. They probably like that he didn't succeed as much as a coach when he coached the Lakers. You know what I'm saying? So the fact Deion like changing the narrative right now in this generation, social media, he embraces everything, but he made sure they put the same amount of work he put in when he was coming up. And then he prime time. Like you said, he's my favorite football player ever. It's not even close. It's not even close. It's prime. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
he still
talk to himself in third person as a coach. Bro, you know what I'm saying?
Like, the most beautiful thing about Deion, man, he never changed. He is never going to change. And that confident, charismatic guy that we see, it might rub some people the wrong way, but here's my opinion on that. For all y'all listening out there that got a problem with Deion, all you media herbs, all you suckers in the media, especially you black guys, you black men in the media that have some type of feeling towards Deion, you would never understand that aura that he got. You'd never understand the Diamond Turf Nikes. This guy's flying back and forth across the country playing baseball and football at the highest level. You would never understand what it takes to be that confident. So I see with a lot of these little shoulder guys in the media, I see y'all with the little shoulders. You would never be able to relate. You would never be able to relate to a guy like Deion in real life. You can't relate to that confidence because you don't have it. And that's all I'm seeing from a lot of these suckers in the media. Yeah, I said it. Y'all a bunch of suckers, man. Deion Sanders put in the work. The kids put in the work. And I saw media people yesterday and leading up to that game. They were talking crazy about Prime, bro.
Yeah, I watched it. We were happy. I was like, man, I just want to see what he does. I want us to succeed. I didn't think he was going to succeed that fast. You know what I'm saying? And like, look where he is now. He's solidified. You heard what he told a man? Do you believe?
See, do you don't believe.
He's like, do you believe? Like, believe in what? You know exactly what he's talking about. That's why Prime, he didn't really want to say, but he probably wanted to say, you don't believe. Just leave it right there. Next question.
Hey, y'all, you know what I'm saying? I was real happy yesterday that Deion got that victory because I was on mybookie.ag. Shout out to my bookie. Proud partner of the Some Dude Show now. Hey, yo, my bookie had me on there, bro. I saw the odds, and I don't know about you, but the pregame odds in Vegas, it was 20.5. How in the world were these Colorado Buffaloes? How was Deion's team a 20.5 underdog? And I was on my bookie, bro. Like, I had to take that bet. I got a nice little payday. So go to my bookie, y'all. I'm telling y'all, you get fast payouts. And just like some of these other sports betting apps, my bookie is different because, bro, like, it don't matter where you live. You can be in Charlotte where you at. You can be where I'm at. You can be overseas. You can get your bet in. How do you feel about those Buffaloes, Anthony, being a 20.5 point dog on the road and shut everybody the fuck up?
I saw that, and the only thing I think of was TCU made it. They went far last year.
They was in the championship.
I'm like, man, that's the only reason I could see that. And then it's like, people might want to just bet against Deion. You know what I'm saying? In Colorado. But like, for them to get that win, and that was their first home opener in like 27 years, they hadn't sold the arena, the bowl out and everything. I'm like, bro, it's just like so much monumental shit for the culture that happened.
It was bigger than football, Anthony. I feel like it was bigger than just football yesterday. That was iconic win for a lot of kids because I think what's going to happen now, and I want to ask y'all this question before we get started tonight. We live on AMP, Some Do Show. We got a special guest right here just pulled up. But like Deion did that for the culture, bro. Like he put Colorado on the map. But now I feel like the question I want to ask y'all is, do you think we're witnessing something where this could possibly be like a Nick Saban situation? Because before Nick Saban started winning those chips, even at LSU and at Alabama, he changed the culture in those places to the point where it's like a factory now in Alabama. And I feel like yesterday it was a perfect storm because the entire country was watching that game yesterday. Casual fans were watching it, diehard football fans, football lovers, and Deion. He put on a show on the sidelines. He carried himself with class and grace. His kids had a lot of charisma. And I feel like a lot of kids and parents watching that game last night, they're going to say, you know what? We want to go out there to Boulder, Colorado, because This guy can help us get to the NFL. He has the NFL pedigree. He has the NFL connections. He has NFL coaches on the staff. What other place would you want your son to go?
It's real. It was way bigger than just football. And then if you, it's, you know, Travis Hunter, bro.
Bro.
You know what I'm saying? Shador, the running back. Like, bro, I mean, the guy, like, I'm like, Travis Hunter, kids right now that's like number one, that's freshman, sophomores. You watch that game, your parents watch the game, Colorado got to shoot straight to the top of that list. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, Deion come, we going. Just like how Saban, how you explain how it was with Saban at Alabama. I think that is, but I think it's like this generation's version of that, which is even better because they fully equipped to be this generation's Alabama, like in terms of it's Deion. So you're going to be able to have a player's coach. You know, you have a player's coach and staff. You're going to have support. You got great facilities. You got great players around you. So I think this, I mean, I'm not, it's one game, don't get me wrong, but I think that they really prove that they really can be real contenders. And I hope they go as far as they can. I mean, I think they're going to be great, though. And they're going to get, they recruiting classes, it's a high ceiling for that for the next 5-10 years.
But Deion said it best. He was like, I saw an interview right before the game, the night before the game, with Joe Klatt, I think. And he said, yo, we don't really got to sell anything out here. Once we get the kids to come out here to see the immaculate views, the spectacular views of Boulder, Colorado, once the kids pull up and see that and they see what we're building here, they already know what I'm about and what I'm bringing. Like, I think he's going to be able to flip a lot of kids who have their sights set on the LSUs, the Bamas, the Michigan, Ohio State. I think he's going to be able to flip a lot of kids. If he can go in there in week two, and shout out to my bookie once again, because Nebraska, I'm going to tell you what, Nebraska, the jig going to be hovering this Saturday in Boulder. Because can you imagine that crowd this Saturday, the home opener?
Oh, man.
Bro, the black uniforms. Oh, they're gonna be bro. And can we talk about Deion and the outfit yesterday? Yo, Deion was real saucy over there, bro.
He's definitely and he had that. They had the those were the diamond turfs, huh?
Yo, bro, the white
the uniforms, ones they had on yesterday.
Bro, the icy white. Prime had the he had the shades on with the hoodie. I need that hoodie, Prime. I need the white hoodie. I need that white fitted. The rope chain, I see you, my brother. I'm inspired. I don't know about y'all listening to the Some Dude Show right now. I'm inspired by what I saw with Deion. I need to see those buffaloes. I need to see the buffalo emojis in the chat, y'all, before we get started. I need to see the buffaloes. I need to see the buffaloes. I'm Cuffington, Buffington, Buffington, Cuffington for now. That's the nickname now. But, yo, and we got a special guest who just pulled up, man. We got a special guest who just pulled up right now. The 2021 third-round pick out of Louisiana Tech University down there in the Bayou. He's one of the rising stars in the NFL right now on the defensive side of the ball. And I got to say this before I bring him on. I'm coming home. This year, you know, I've been on Twitter the last couple months. I've been an unrestricted free agent fan all summer, y'all. Like, I've been on the fence because, you know, this is my first time in, like, since 2001, being without an NFL forever home. Like, Tom Brady retired. Everybody know I was Tom Brady's biggest fan, born in the major. That's my guy. So I've been sitting around soul searching, y'all. I've been soul searching. My boy retired. And I think it's fine for Cuffs to find a new football home, a forever home, you know. So I think I'm coming home. I'm coming home this year. So I had to bring on this special guest because he's one of the savages on the defensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles, man. Like I said, a rising young star in the league. And I got to say, fly, Eagles, fly. I'm coming home, Milton. Milton Williams, welcome to the Some Dude Show, my boy.
What's good, Cuffs? Appreciate you having me on, man.
Bro, hell yeah, man. I look good in green. What you think, Milton? I look good in the green, bro. I think I'm coming home with y'all this year. I'm riding with the Eagles, man.
Hey, that's cool, man. Everybody, you know, everybody look good in the green. They're going to rock with you.
So how was your offseason, Milton? Like, you grew up in Texas. Like, I got to talk about that Texas heat, right? Is the Texas heat, like, that? Is that what makes you guys so mentally tough as kids? Like, the Texas heat is crazy.
I mean, just growing up in it, like, going to being outside in it all the time, it's like you kind of get used to it a little bit. Like, a lot of people, they don't know about it because they like further up north and stuff like that. So when it do get hot, you'd be all right, but you'd be like it get hot down here in Philly, but it don't get hot like in Texas, you know.
Yeah,
it gets smoking in Texas. But yeah,
so what was the atmosphere like growing up there playing high school football? Because where I'm at, man, like the schools, you know, they might pack out a couple hundred, but like I know you probably played in some stadiums when you were in high school down in Texas.
Yeah, I was at Crowley High School. No, we were decent. We never really, you know, went like so. Most of the playoff games they played at Cowboy Stadium in Dallas. So I think when I was there, we went to the playoffs. We lost in the first round. But other like bigger Texas high schools, that's where everybody go for the playoff tournament, and it'd be jam packed, sold out with, you know, DeSoto, Allen, you know, all the big schools in Texas. So it's definitely something to go to out there.
Who were some of the guys? Did you play against any guys that are in the pros now in high school in Texas?
I don't think so. No, well, one of my teammates, Cody Russey, he went to Burleson, and I went to college with him too at Louisiana Tech. I think he put the Patriots now, so if he's still there, I'll see him week one.
So when did you realize, bro, growing up in Texas, when did you realize? You say your high school team wasn't that great, but when did you realize you can really play at that NFL level?
Just being my size and being as fast as I was. I think I was about 6'2", and I was already like, you know, bigger than everybody. So I was like, well, I can play the end. And my pop was like, you know, you gonna play the end, you're gonna have to start working out, keep your speed. So once I got to high school, I think I hit a growth spurt. I got up to about 220 my last year at college playing defensive end. And then that's when coaches started coming around and I got my first offer from Louisiana Tech. Some other schools rolled in, but none of them were really serious. Once I went to went down to La Tech with my visit, committed on the spot, and it's been all she wrote since then.
So how was it like playing at La Tech? Like, they're kind of like a basketball school here and there. Like, I think Karl Malone went to that school. So like, how was it playing at that school? Like, did you go there because, like you said, they showed interest in you first? So you kept your loyalty to that school?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so they were there first. And, you know, it's always about feeling wanted, you know. So they were the first one to come out and say, hey, we feel like you can add this to our program and this and that. So I'm like, okay, they believe in me. Okay, I'm gonna believe in them. Help them get back full on their investment in me. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I chose to go there.
That's what's up, bro. This Aunt Morrow right here, bro. What's going on, Milk?
Oh yeah, I know you are, man. I remember. I don't remember what 2K, but whenever you on the Thunder.
If you was born after 1995, the first question is going to be something about 2K with me, man.
Hey, look, and I love it. Who was that on a previous episode? Oh, Dennis Smith said he played with Anthony on 2K as well. That's funny, man.
Man, I'm telling you, he was on the Thunder Squad.
He was on
Russ and KD. So they trying to help off of them. They leave him wide open. He had an easy jumper back then, too. So it was
my tricky. Guy. My guy, that was the plan. That was the plan in real life. You know what it is, man. Hey, I saw you mentioned going to Crowley High. What was it like growing up? What I haven't never heard of Crowley, Texas. I got a lot of homies from Texas. Where is that geographically from anywhere else, like a bigger state?
I know you heard of Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
Like Dallas, Fort Worth. It's like a suburb of Fort Worth. So from Dallas, I give it like 30 minutes. 30 minutes away from Dallas is like a small city, Crowley. And you got Burleson, Joshua, you know, all them cities right there. All them suburbs right there together.
Hey, Milton, you said that you played with Anthony Morrow, you used him on 2K. I want to ask you, man, who did you play with on Madden growing up? Who was the person on Madden that you played with on defense?
So, right. That's the crazy part. So I got into Madden. Well, I played Madden 04. I used to always play Vic. You know, he was on the cover. I used to just get Vic and run around. And when right. I really finally understood a little bit what I was doing, it was Madden 07. And, you know, Sean Alexander was on the cover of that one.
Oh, he was unstoppable.
And I was playing with him. And so that's how the Seahawks start. Like, growing up, they were my favorite team. You know, obviously, that didn't change since I got drafted, but growing up, I was a Seattle fan just because Sean Alexander.
Yo, I'm not going to lie, yo. Shout out to Sean Alexander, Alabama legend. I hated his elbow pads. Like, he had oh. I hated Sean Alexander's elbow pads.
Nah, they definitely wasn't swaggy, but hey.
He was not swag. So who were your actual role models coming up? Like, who were some of the guys you idolized? First of all, did you play any on the offensive side of the ball in high school?
I played quarterback.
Shit.
Early on, I played quarterback, but I was on the B team, you know, and backup quarterback and stuff like that. So I was like, man, I don't want to be no backup. I'm going to just go play defense. I know I'm big enough and fast enough to do it. So that's why I switch right there.
So what's the most sacks you had in a high school game?
In a high school game, the playoff game we had, I think I had 3, and we still lost. we went to the playoffs. For the first time, my last year there, we had win. They ain't been in like 6-7 years. Then we lose their first playoff game. I think I had 3 sacks that game, but we still lost.
You saw a lot of double and triple teams, I bet, in high school. You had to.
Definitely. Even more now.
Even more now. Talk your shit, man. You on the Some Dude Show. Talk your shit. So it leads me into what I want to ask you. Like, last year, we all know the Eagles, your Eagles went to the Super Bowl. You came up short. But how nervous were you the night before? I always wanted that when it comes to the NBA Finals, when it comes to the Super Bowl. You being a young player, a new player on the Eagles, y'all make it to the promised land. How nervous and anxious were you the night before playing in the Super Bowl?
You know, the crazy part about it is that I wasn't really just, I want to say nervous, maybe a little bit. Because it's just, at the end of the day, you know, it's football. But they got football, everything. Yeah. They got everything surrounding it. You know, the cameras everywhere. They're changing, putting their Super Bowl logo on everything. We get clothes. You know, all the stuff like that. So, our thing was try to get your mind focused and get ready for the game. So, night before the game, I made sure I was in the bed early. Prayer if I closed my eyes and just, you know. What's going to happen is going to happen, but make sure you got your mind right and be ready.
So I know, like you said, y'all came up short, man, but like, I know you have a hunger, like you have a hunger to get back to that moment. Like you came so close, you can taste that championship champagne, that confetti on your back. You replayed it in your head 1,000 times all off season. So how hungry are you? Because I ain't gonna lie, bro. That's why I made my decision this year, this summer in free agency, in fan free agency, to fly Eagles fly with y'all this year. Because I think y'all have all the pieces to get right back there again this year.
No, man, definitely. We definitely hungry, you know, being that close, like you said. You know, coming into this season, you know, you think about it, yeah, but you can't think about it too much because, you know, we got to worry about these other games, you know. Got the short-term goals before we, you know, get to the Super Bowl. But, you know, you still think about it and that just having that thought in the back of your head, just going out to practice every day, like, just remembering, like, we this close, you know. Keep polishing up on technique, fundamentals and things like that. And then just slowly keep building throughout the season, building with the brotherhood and the teammates you got, and you'll hopefully get back there and this time get the job done.
Does Anthony is a hometown, born and raised Carolina Panther fan, and I wanted to ride with the home team, and I'm still gonna root for the home team. I know it's gonna be a tough rookie season for Bryce Young, but with your Eagles, man, it's like that defensive line. Like, y'all had a great season last year, and there's some other great D lines in there in your own division, like Dallas, you know, the Giants, mm-hmm. the Redskins with Chase Young and those guys. But I know the battles. Can you give me some examples of the battles? Because I know the battles that you having with Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham and even the rookie Jalen Carter out of Georgia, who I love. I think he's gonna be an animal this year.
Oh yeah,
he gonna how be are those dog. Battles? I know it's got to be super competitive just at practice for y'all, the defensive line group.
Oh, every day we out there, especially in the individual, we going at it. Everybody going at it. You know, we trying to win and see who's gonna be first. You know, we always try to compete in even everything we're doing, even in the weight room, working out. Always trying to get, you know, one up the next guy. And it's just, I feel like that's just a reason why we can keep building and keep getting better, because we always competing, so we always full tilt. So when it's time to go full tilt, it's easy. You know what I'm saying?
Your aunt, Carolina Panthers, Eagles. That NFC is gonna be spicy this year, bro. Like, I'm ready to see these matchups. How about you, Ant? Hold on, I think we lost. Hold on, Ant. Unmute, man. You gotta unmute.
Oh yeah, unmute.
I think we lost him for a second. So,
Milt, man, I wanna damn ask iPhones. You, I'm right here.
I wanna ask you about your leader, though, man. Like, that's the head of the snake, like Jalen Hurts leadership, bro. Like, he carried y'all to that Super Bowl. How much confidence does your defense have in your quarterback, Jalen Hurts, even after last season taking y'all that far? But have you seen a steady growth in him even in the offseason now going into training camp?
Man, Hurts, he's different. He do everything right. You know, he the first one in, last one out. And he just, you know, like I said earlier, like playing the Super Bowl is a big stage. Him being a quarterback is a big thing, but he don't treat it like that, you know. He just, right. You know, he just go about it as just, you know, just playing football. I'm doing my job, getting better every day. So we got confidence in him, first of all, going against him in practice. You know, he'll light us up in practice sometimes, but then we just all do it all through the season, playing through injury, you know, playoffs. And even in the Super Bowl, yeah, one of the best Super Bowl performances I think a quarterback has ever had. So
yeah,
we ain't got nothing but confidence in him, seeing how he works. And that don't do nothing but make us want to go harder. Everybody on the team, once you see him doing that, you ain't got no excuses.
I think the thing with Jalen Hurts is, like, he's a real winner, right? Like, you can see that on him. Oh, man. Yeah. I think that's infectious, because it's, you know, with some guys, they talk a little bit, but they don't really show and prove. I think ever since Bama, ever since everything happened when he transferred Oklahoma and all that, he's been through so many adverse situations that you can see that he's a real winner. It's no bullshit with him. Like, you can really see it's real with Jalen, I think.
Oh, yeah. That definitely molded him into the quarterback he is now. But like you just said, don't nothing faze him. He always, you know, playing at his speed, going through his routine. And he just smooth, man. He just smooth. I go to war with him any day.
So who is the OG of that defensive line group, Miller? Like, who is the OG, the leader? Is it Fletcher, Brandon Graham? It's got to be one of them guys. Who's the real leader in that group?
Actually, it's both. It's both of those guys, since they've been here for a while. And they was here when I came in, you know, just watching them work. Like I said, we're going out to practice, seeing them come out there. Year, what, 10 plus years in the league, and they still, you know, going hard all the way, full tilt. So, like I said, young guys come out there, they set the example for all of us to see, well, this is how you're supposed to practice, and this is how they've been playing so long. So, get in line, or we'll find somebody else.
Yo, we live on Ant right now with defensive lineman for the Philadelphia Eagles, man, Milton Williams. I got to ask you, Milt, week one is coming this week, man. I know you amped up for this. You're getting ready for week one, the showdown in week one. who is on the Milton Williams playlist right now? Who's going to be on the playlist game day, on the field, getting your workout in, ready for week one? Who you got on the playlist, Milton?
Ooh, I got, ooh, it's a lot. Future, Kodak, Nudie, UGK, Outkast, Rick Ross. You know, I go, I got a lot of music I listen to, but I started off like in the morning time. I started off with some gospel. You know, most of the time it's Sunday when we playing, so keep your mind, get your mind refreshed a little bit before you know, close when it get closer to game time. That's when you can, like, yeah, you get ready music. You know how it go.
Cause you seem like a quiet, soft spoken guy, right? But I asked Joe Hayden this on a previous episode about guys who play on the defensive side of the ball, like he did at Florida with the Cleveland Browns all those years. Do you have to be honest with me, Milt? Do you have to have like that kill switch where it's like you play gospel music when you wake up, like you said, and then you go into your game day routine, you got your Future, you're down south, Rick Ross, everything. But do you have to have like a kill switch to be able, because it's a lot of violence on the field. Like people say, it's like car crashes the whole game. Yeah. Do you have to have a different switch? How is it to have that switch, turn it on, and then decompress right after the game? Like, I know it has to be mentally taxing.
Oh, it definitely is, but you got to have it, especially playing D-line. You ain't got no kill switching, no edge. I don't know. You might be playing the wrong sport. So like you said, it get real physical out there and playing my position. You outnumbered, so you damn near getting a double team. Right. More than you getting a single block. So
who is that offensive lineman that you go against that's a tough matchup? But right. you're eager to face this guy because he gives you a test every time. Who is that guy so far? I know you've only been in the league. It's your third year, right? It's your third year.
Going to year three.
Into year three. Who have you seen so far that's like, you know what? I got to get some extra rest tonight because this left tackle or this left guard or right guard, which offensive lineman is that guy?
Oh, easy. Zach Martin. Easy. Ooh, Zach Martin.
That's who I was thinking, Zach Martin. Like, he's got to be in the Hall of Fame discussion.
Hey, he definitely going to be in there, but he just – anything you want out of guard, he got it. Size strong, can block, and, you know, everything that come with it. He can move.
He can move the puppies.
He can move the puppies. He definitely one of those guys. So, hey, it's always fun going against those guys. You know, they're the top of the top, so – that's what you want. So everybody, you can beat them. You can beat anybody, you know, because they're the top of the top.
Yo, Zach Martin, Hall of Famer, Yellow Jacket, get it ready. He going to Canton. I got some callers on the line that want to ask you a question, Milt. But before I get to that, I want to ask you, can you please describe Philadelphia Eagles fans in just one word? Describe the fan base. We heard the stories. You know, they hitting Santa Claus with batteries and snowballs. you being a Texas boy, coming up there to the Northeast, it's a different region. Those fans are crazy. Can you describe the fan base in one word? Because I'm coming home, so I need to know what I'm going into, what I'm walking into.
In one word.
My word is diabolical.
Passionate.
Yeah,
that's
yes,
my thing. They don't care. It don't matter what's going on. They're gonna want to be at the Eagle game. They want the Eagles to win. So everything else, they can care less.
So what's it been like, man? Being in that city, you know, playing for the Eagles, you're doing your thing. You went to the Super Bowl, but being a young black athlete, man, you with Clutch Sports. What was it like working, like, what has it been like working together with Clutch Sports and stuff?
Oh, no, I'm not with Clutch.
You're not with Clutch anymore?
Mm-mm.
I didn't know that. My bad. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. That's my bad. Nah,
but as far as being Eagle, all that has been good. You know, I ain't never on side. I didn't think I would end up here, but that's how the draft goes. But I feel like I definitely ended up in the right spot.
Yeah, the right spot, yeah.
The city, tough, gritty, and they want their football team to be the same way and go out there and just go hard, you know. That's the main thing about the city of Philadelphia, just going hard, working hard.
Eagles fans, Eagles fans, I'm coming home. I told y'all. I'm coming home. I look good in the green. We got the black quarterback, Jalen Hurts. We got close last year. I'm saying we got close last year. A few points away. I see it. The writing's on the wall. I'm going to go over to my bookie. I'm putting the bet in. I'm really confident in y'all, Milton. I'm really confident that D-line is ready. You got the corners out there, the safeties. Oh, yeah. Y'all got everything. Y'all have everything, and I feel like it's going to come down to just execution.
Oh, yeah. Every time. Tina is the best going to win.
Well, we're going to take a caller. My guy, Uncle Phil, he's been on hold. Uncle Phil, you live, man. You on the MyBookie hotline, Uncle Phil.
What's happening? The connection good?
Yeah, you good, man.
Yeah, you good.
Okay. So, Milton, I want to ask you this. So, I'm from Mississippi. I went to Mississippi State and everything like that. And y'all got a lot of Bulldogs on the roster. On a side note from that. You, as a defensive player, who are some of your favorite guys to watch, to study, to try to, you know, pick and take something from that game to add it to yours?
Ooh, easy. Good question.
Aaron Donald, number one, and J.J. Watt. These guys can play anywhere on the D-line and be productive. And I look at myself in that same light, especially like body types and size and speed. So I watch a lot of their tape and try to, you know, what you want to call it, steal from them. Right. Yeah, some of their techniques and some of the things that they see out there.
So with a guy like Aaron Donald, that's a great question, Phil. With a guy like Aaron Donald and J.J. Watt, is people see their size, their physique, they be in the weight room. We know they squatting and hella weight, but it's like, I feel like it's their hands. Is that it being a D lineman, like you have to have not only you moving the puppies, but you got to have those hands. Like, is that what you mean when you watch tape of those guys? Are you watching some of their rip moves, their hand motions and stuff like that? That's what you're saying.
Oh yeah. Both of them. Great hand placement and inside hands. And then when they come to rushing, you know, hitting the power points on point and winning your rushing and getting sacks, pressures, all the production that come with it. But it start getting off the ball, like I said, good hand placement, win the block, and you produce. So watching them do that for as long as they did, and even now I can go back and watch old games, it's fun for sure.
How important is the conditioning, Milton? Like, what do you really do? What is your regimen? Like, is it a lot of 100-yard sprints? Because, like, you guys have – like, you only get a few plays off. Like, you rotate in and out because your line is so deep. But how is your conditioning regimen in the offseason to be able to have that win, to play that many snaps? Because – better question. When you're out there, one snap, what is one snap in the NFL as a D lineman? What is that the equivalent of? Is that, like, how many sprints do you have to take? How does that feel to your lungs when you – on one snap? How does that feel?
It just depends on what type of play it is. So the quarterback, we're going against like Lamar or even like Hurts, quarterback around, he in the backfield running around, we chase him the whole play. If that's one play, then you're going to be gassed a little bit.
You got to come out.
Or say a screen play, we got to get out of the stack and go run, get him down. Say he breaks 60 yards, you better be running. So that's another play. So it just depends on what type of play it is. But you try to be, you know, when you're working out, you got to incorporate some kind of conditioning so you can make sure that you always got a little something in case that you can't get a sub out. You know what I'm saying? They're going tempo and things like that. But like you said, we rotate pretty good over here. So that ain't really been an issue so far.
Like, the reason I say that, Milton, because a lot of fans, man, they play fantasy football. You know, you got a lot of bettors and gamblers like us. We on MyBookie. We betting on MyBookie all day. You got people who watch football and they yell and scream at the TV. They throwing TV bricks, like, sack the quarterback or get pressure. And they don't understand that there's no – like, you know how you play Madden and you take fatigue off. A lot of fans be watching y'all play and thinking, like – y'all can just go. Like, it takes a lot to play the snaps. So, going back to Travis Hunter yesterday, what was it like watching a kid that's a sophomore play over 120 snaps, bro?
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. Hey, he playing both sides of the ball, and he producing on both sides. So, that
Hunter is an alien.
That's crazy. I ain't never seen nothing like that since prime. Shit.
Since prime.
I ain't seen nobody like that doing that.
We got my guy Darnell J. Porter. You live, Darnell J. You live on the My Bookie Hotlines with Milton Williams, Cuffs the Legend, Anthony Morrow. How you doing, bro?
What's up, bro? Long time no hear, you know.
Yeah, what's
I was in a space to defending our brother in Christ, Austin Reeves, you know, the slander he's getting today.
Yeah, you know, they waiting for Austin Reeves to lose and have a bad game. That's what people do, man. They're miserable souls, man.
Yeah, man, especially in this Twitter sphere. So just came up to hear that the good ball talk that y'all was going at that game yesterday by Travis Hunter was something special to watch. I was called my pops. I was like, bro, I ain't never seen nothing like this.
How can he – do y'all think it's sustainable? Can he keep this up over the course of the whole season, man?
Ooh.
That might be rough.
No, because, I mean, you want to be able to use – you want him to be effective. And
yeah.
that's gonna wear him down. Like, I would probably concentrate on more on – like I saw a couple folks on Twitter talking about – I'll probably concentrate on more on the defensive side and have special packages on offense. Right, like Dallas did for Prime. Like he was primarily on the defense, and you can pick your spots with him on offense. But that I don't think you want to wear him down like that playing especially over 100 snaps.
No,
you know,
over
on both sides
through a whole season.
Quick question. Crazy. I just want to make sure. Right. The second receiver they have, that's Jason Horn's son, right?
I thought it was Joe Horn's son, but I was incorrect on Twitter.
I thought
it was Joe Horn's son, but it's not. But that was Jay Philly's son that was kicking the field goals. I think that bloodline ball is beautiful to watch. Do y'all feel old when y'all seeing some of the NFL players we grew up watching? When we're seeing their sons out here now, do y'all feel old as shit now watching these college football games?
Cuz I just saw Chris Henry's son commit to Ohio State, bro. I was like,
Chris Henry, the wide receiver that passed away from the Bengals.
Yeah,
right?
I was like, his son old enough to be in college, like, crazy. Feel like his dad just passed.
I seen Drake Kilpatrick had a son that committed to Bama, and I was like, that's when I realized, like, hold on, what's happening?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Jay Miles, what's your question for Milton, man? You in Boston?
I'm not right now. I'm actually in the mother. I'm in the motherland right now. I'm in Cape Verde. So I apologize if I can't hear you. Yeah. But I had to tap in because I got free time. But my question to you is, right, obviously, like, everybody reveres Patrick Mahomes as the greatest. And obviously, you went against him in the Super Bowl. So I want to know, like, you going against him and watching him, like, what was that like going against arguably the greatest quarterback of our era and our generation? And, like, just explain that experience to me, bro, because that's crazy.
Oh no, he legit. So I mean, as a coordinator, it's like pick your poison. What you want to give up in this car right here? Because you know he gonna make something happen. He got the arm and he got the legs to do it. So it was definitely fun going against him, competitive. Even I think when we played him our first year, I think he blew our doors off when he still had Tyreek over there. But he definitely, he's a great quarterback. He's gonna be doing this for a minute.
So let me ask you this then. So like obviously like you had like a whole week before the whole thing. Like what was that like preparation like going like toward like gearing towards going against him?
You know, like I said earlier, he one of those guys. You gonna have to chase him around because he's gonna make the first guy miss. So you win your block, he running around, you know, coverage, they gotta hold up coverage on the back end. So our job, we gotta go get him before the coverage on the back end break down and he buying time, and it's even harder on the corners on the back end. Receivers double moving and not running routes on the tree. So I think that was the most difficult part of practice.
And we live on AMP right now, Some Dude Show. My co-host, Anthony Morrow. We on here with Philadelphia Eagles rising star. I'm going to call you a rising star, bro, because this year I think you're going to have a real breakout year. You're going to get double-digit sacks. and the jig is going to be hovering on the rest of the NFC East. You hear that, Cowboy fans? You Giants fans? You, I don't know what they call them. Are they the Redskins? Are they the Commander Skins? The Commander Skins.
Commander Skins.
Hey, KD, down to KD, man. Kevin Durant, I know you're still rooting for those Washington Commander Skins, but the jig is hovering. My Philadelphia Eagles, we coming. We're going to have to come to a game this year, man. I'm pulling up. I'm pulling up. I can't wear the cheese head. I can't. That's Green Bay tip. I'm gonna have to come up with a costume. But man, I gotta ask you one last question, Milton. Man, What is your favorite Rose Stadium to play at? To silence the crowd, to give them the shush. What's your favorite Rose Stadium so far, going into year three?
Favorite Rose Stadium.
Yeah, shut their ass up. Who do you love just to shut up and humble and serve that humble pie on the road?
It'll have to be the Cowboys Stadium because it's the closest to home, you know?
Oh, yeah. I know the ticket requests are crazy. The ticket requests got to be crazy, Mill.
That's where I'm from. So I got a lot of family there. And, you know, Cowboy fans, they, you know how they are. So it's definitely it's good to go in there, you know, trying to handle business.
Yo, Mill, bro, don't fall for the ticket request with the family, bro. Keep it at a limit. I swear to God, trust me.
Hey, I'm serious. Hey,
I'm 2 years coming back to Charlotte, boy. It was rough.
I got to give you.
He said don't fall for the ticket jig.
Don't fall for it, man. Don't fall for it.
Hey, yo, Ant, you played 10 years. Mill, you going into year three. You just gave us some good game right there. Is the ticket jig really real with family? Like, because let me say this. I'm not even a player, right? I've never played professional sports. But every time LeBron damn James comes to North Carolina, I get random family members that I haven't spoken to all year. It's like, yo, you going to the game, cuz? You going to the game, cuz?
Bro, they always doing that. They do that now. They do that to me that I've been retired. Like, hey, you going to see Kevin Durant and them play? I'm like, yeah. Oh, man, you got some extra tickets? No, it's just me and my son. That's it, y'all. That's all I got. I got his two. My first year coming back to Charlotte, it was like 60 tickets. And I was like, you don't see it come out to check then. You know, when you check into the game, the whole crowd go crazy. It's your family. That feel good. Until that 15 come and you see what it costed for them tickets to come out. Called my mom, hey, man. I said, Mom, you're never doing this again.
What Slay said on his interview, some of us playing the Super Bowl for free.
Damn.
Out there to the game.
That's crazy. It's real talk.
You played in the Super Bowl for free. That's crazy.
Hey, man,
everybody can't go, man.
Everybody can't go. Live. That's the motto.
So like 65 to 70% of y'all gonna be at home watching that game.
You're not lying.
Real.
Yo, Milton, before we let you ride, man, I want to say, man, best of luck this year. Best of health, bro. I'm gonna be watching you on my Sunday ticket. I'm going to be placing them bets on my bookie. I'm betting on them Eagles to go to the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be y'all in Baltimore. So get your cardio ready because y'all going to be chasing Lamar Jackson in the Super Bowl. That's my prediction, man. Live on it.
Hey, man, appreciate it, man. Appreciate you having me on and all that good stuff. Appreciate everybody coming up with the questions.
Also, real quick, I just want to give you a shout-out, bro. I'll be at your week one game at Gillette, bro. I don't know if you ever played there. It's definitely going to start a Trump rally in that bitch, but... I gotta see some live football, bro. So like, best of luck. I hope y'all whoop their ass. So I'll be there watching you, bro. So the best of luck with that game and the whole rest of the season, like Cuff said.
Hey, Milton, let the people know where they can follow you on social media, Milton, before you bounce, before you ride.
Milton W underscore 12 on Twitter.
Oh, I think Milk froze up, y'all. I'm gonna share his socials on my Instagram story, but we appreciate Milton pulling up. Anthony Morrow, the ticket jig is real, bro. You said 60. You said 60 tickets.
It was 60, bro. 60. Bro, it was 60, and I was like, I told my mom, and I said, this ain't gonna happen again. Y'all at like a 15 to 17 minimum, and that's gonna be it.
Yo, we live on AMP right now, Some Dude Show. I'm not going to hold y'all for too much longer because I got a special treat tonight at 10 p.m. I got a whole separate show, R&B vibes, ladies pulling up. We going to feed the wolves generous portions, fellas. So y'all can come over there at 10 p.m. Don't be a gatekeeper. Share this show with your woman. Share this show with your lady. Don't be a gatekeeper. Okay. We don't do that gatekeeper shit on the Some Dude Show. Okay. We're going to put y'all on the new fragrances, skincare, all type of shit. That's what we do here, right? And there's no
gatekeepers. Music, fashion, not just music, sports, fashion, everything.
There's no gatekeepers.
Yes, nothing going on. Everybody going to get the game.
So let me, so speaking of gatekeepers, right? And speaking of the jig cam, Team USA, they took a took a very serious, spicy L today against Lithuania. Valančiūnas and those boys. Is the, I'm going to ask everybody on the call right now, they're still hanging around. Shout out to y'all. Everybody in the chat. Is the jig hovering? Has Team USA been exposed now in the FIBA World Cup?
Are we still
going to win this shit? Or are we coming home with a bag of Oreos, bro? What's happening?
They're going to win. But I feel like, I think it was somebody in the Discord. Somebody said in the Discord earlier, and I agree with. Yo, like, Anthony Edwards got past the ball, bro. That man can't go to hell ball over there in Philippines, bro. He got to chill.
I agree with you, J. Miles. Look, Anthony Edwards, this is going to be his league in a few years. But I got to look at it this way. When I was in high school, right, I had to play go to hell ball. I averaged 30 my senior year, and I probably averaged 2 assists. Not because I'm not a great passer, is that I didn't trust the guys. I don't think Anthony really trusts those other guys, even though some of those guys are recognizable players. I think he trusts Austin Reeves. I think he trusts Tyrese Halliburton, Bobby Portis. But, like, I don't know if he trusts Brandon Ingram right now. So I think that's why Anthony Edwards is letting it fly.
Yeah. I'll say this real quick. Honestly, I didn't watch the game. But I saw, like, the highlights. I got to really watch the game in full. Obviously, I've seen, like, the lineups at the end when they were down were kind of off. I just feel like with the team that they have constructed, especially with Brandon Ingram coming off the bench, like, I feel like their morale, like, that, like, mental is not there. So, like, especially with Brandon Ingram, I know he's somewhere else right now. So he got to, like, really come together and get his shit together because I think he's one of the best scorers on that team. So I don't know what Kerr's doing with the lineups. I watched the game before. Where he'd go like a quarter with the starters and a quarter with the bench. And he had like Cam Johnson coming in when they down. Like, I don't know, bro. Like, I feel like they'll be good, but it ultimately comes down to Kerr making the right decisions with the lineups in the specific times.
Because I said before this started, that was going to be the real crux of all this. Is like the real dilemma for Kerr is being like, I feel like it's an AAU team. Any of y'all that's ever coached AAU and you go to Nationals and you try to stack your team to go to Nationals, you don't know some of the boys as well as the others, and you're trying to put that chemistry together at the last minute. So they try to do it. But as far as Brandon Ingram, I'm actually kind of surprised he's struggling over there because he has a really nice ISO game. And FIBA basketball is a lot of spacing. You can really get your shit off if you really – that's why Anthony Edwards is shooting a lot and having a high usage rate because it's ISO ball over there. Look at the spacing. And I just
feel like I feel like
Brandon's somewhere else right now mentally.
It's that because I feel like with this team, you know how the USA team had their style. I feel like he could have easily been this FIBA's team equivalent to Melo on the Olympic team.
Melo, he could have been a leading scorer,
But again, it's all mental. I don't know where he's at. I don't know if he's bad about the minutes or him not starting. So it's kind of weird with him right now. I don't know what type of space he's in. So and that matters. But I don't think that him not starting or him not playing or whatever they got going on, even with the loss, will hinder them. I think they'll be all right.
Let me ask you and the rest of y'all going into this, the quarterfinals. I don't think the jig is hovering. I think they can bounce back. They can shake it off. They got a great coaching staff, Spoelstra, Kerr, and those guys, Ty Lue. They're going to make the tweaks and the adjustments. But how is it going to be going into this quarterfinals? Like, what is going to be the closing lineups? I know it's been a game-to-game thing, but they got to get these rotations tighter because some guys going to have to sit the fuck down when it comes to winning time.
That's the number one thing with the chemistry. They have to figure out their rotations. And that's been a problem in the past, not necessarily with the LeBron and Kobe and those guys, because they figured that out quick. I think Coach K mastered that in the USA.
Yeah.
He mastered it, but, Steve Kerr kind of struggling with. And then I think you got to think about the coaching staffs. You got him and Eric Spoelstra sitting over there. Everybody, we're going to take a back seat today for this player, for this possession, or for this scheme defensively. Like, you're kind of taking a back seat and you're not really necessarily used to doing that with another Hall of Fame coach. So that's I think some of that has to do with the lineups. Yeah, so you gotta, it's a lot of different factors, and then it's, you know, Brandon Ingram out the game at the end of the game or something like that. What's that gonna do for him the next game? He's like, man, he's on the count. In his mind mentally, it counts, but in his mind, he's like, nah, I'm ready to get back to New Orleans. You know, it's little stuff like that. Guys got egos, man.
Cuss, I gotta ask you this, and I know you're a huge Laker fan. I know you're an Austin Reeves guy, and I know he's been going.
I discovered him.
I get you. No, it's 100%. Let me ask you this, though. On the rail, with all the talent they have on that team and all the players that can go just like him, would you put him in your closing lineup?
It depends on the matchup, because as much as I love Austin Reeves, he kind of got exposed a little bit in this game today against Lithuania because of the size. And they were obviously hunting him on D. And I think with the Lakers, it's a different situation because they have so much depth now. They got Cam Reddish in the fold, Torian Prince in the fold. I just think with this team, it's going to come down to – it's going to be predicated on each matchup going forward. But I think the toughest matchup will be Canada if they face Canada. And I've been talking spicy. Shout out to my guys, Boy Wonder, Drake, and all them guys. I've been talking spicy to Tristan Thompson. I've been talking spicy because I want to see it. I want to see Canada and USA. What championship do y'all want to see in the FIBA? I want to see that.
It features the most equivalent like NBA talent. So like I feel like it shouldn't be anything but that, obviously. But it's kind of like baseball. You want to see DR in Puerto Rico, but or whatever the case may be. You know what I mean? You want to see the best of the best go against each other. And obviously outside of the U.S., right now Canada has the best assembled team. Arguably better, so you want to see that matchup. But
I want to see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I want to see Villain Brooks. Yeah, his new name is Villain Brooks. I want to see Villain Brooks. I want to see those guys. And shout out to Kate Verde. Kate Verde, man, y'all don't have a good basketball team, but you have some of the most beautiful women on planet Earth.
I got to tell you this right now, bro. Listen, I've been here for 10 days.
You're there right now.
When they won that game, bro, it was like, I'm in Playa too, which is the capital. It was like, yo, bro, it was like somebody won a championship. And I know it was just a game to them, but they had never accomplished that before. So the seeing what I saw was crazy, bro. And the women, like you said, obviously is like second to none, bro.
So how far is that flight from Boston, man? We need to get some.
I had to fly to Portugal, which was like I wanna say 6 hours.
This is boss talk right now, live on.
Yeah, Jingle crazy.
Not even, bro. Shout out to my Cape Verdean family. I'm not Cape Verdean at all, but I've been raised around Cape Verdeans. But I flew to Portugal, which is like 6 hours, and then you take a flight from Portugal to Cape Verde, which is like 3.5-4 hours.
So what you're saying right now, live on the Some Do Show, that it's well worth the risk. It's well worth everything you had to go through to get there.
Well, to be honest, I'm celebrating.
Let me ask you this, bro. Are the wolves being fed over?
I'm about to say feed the wolves, man. I'm going to tell you right now, listen to this, man. I'm not going to lie. And I've always had my stance on Cape Verdean women. I think they the best women in the world. But a lot of cities don't have this many women, but we're lucky to have that in abundance.
You said we.
Okay, I'll say me. Listen. Cape Verde women don't exist everywhere in America. They like kind of in the Northeast and like other places. But man, listen, bro, you already know Cuffs with the situation. But
so I think that you're in Boston, bro. I'd never been to Boston. You always talking about Boston. You are well-connected. If y'all don't know, this is Jay Miles, my Boston Celtics correspondent on the Some Do Show. He's well-connected, as you see. He's flying to Portugal randomly in September. The guy's doing a lot of stuff. I don't know.
I gotta ask you this.
Hold on, J Miles. I don't know if you're a Forex trader. You know what I'm saying? I seen your suit picture on the Discord. I seen it. Everybody flaming your suit. You got the Kirby vacuums. The Kirby, y'all remember the Kirby vacuum salesman? He used to come to your crib on Saturday morning. You had you hide in the crib. You trying to hide. Your mama telling you, don't answer the door. So, J Miles, are you saying right here on AMP right now that I should come to the Celtics Lakers game this year dressed in my Lakers gear? Me, Aunt Morrow, Lexi Brown gonna pull up. Should we come to a Celtics game? Lakers Celtics, we should come. Is that what you're saying? Unmute, J Miles. I had to mute you for a second. There we go.
My fault. So this is unbiased, bro. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm a sports fan.
I've been fortunate enough to grow up in Boston when shit got good for all sports teams. I wouldn't consider going nowhere else if you're going to see a sports event. Like, if you want to see baseball, football, basketball, like, why not come here? But to follow up with that, because a lot of people don't believe, I want to ask Ann Morrow, because you've come here obviously a few times.
Yeah,
I don't know what your experience is like, but I want to know, what was your experience like coming to Boston whenever you came here?
I love Boston, bro. Like, I played with some guys that had a lot. I played with Chris Humphreys. He had a lot of friends that were like from Boston and from that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hung out with a lot of them and went to a lot of great restaurants, great, you know, lounges, hookah spots and stuff like that. But in terms of playing, this is just a basketball standpoint. First of all, it's a shooter's gym. I never shot bad in that gym. I love that arena. You can feel like the Boston spirit. The fans are rough, though. Between them and Philly, they'll say anything to you. But it's a great atmosphere and a great city. It's a lot of stuff to do. It was great.
When you say shooter's gym, Anthony, playing in Boston, is it because of the lights and the depth perception in the gym?
It is, man. It seems like the court is smaller. So, you know, you feel like you're playing on that smaller court. The court kind of shrinks. It feels like every shot you take is going in. It's like that. New York is like that. The Knicks and Brooklyn. L.A., Lakers and Clippers. Just a few. I hate to shoot in Chicago, though.
Yeah, Chicago, but, I always thought the United Center, the backdrop, it was kind of tricky with the depth perception in there. Like, I don't know how John Paxson, well, not John Paxson, but Steve Kerr and those guys, Tony Kukoc, that depth perception was crazy at the United Center.
Bro, it felt like you playing in the World Cup arena. Like, everything, you can't, like, you don't even want to shoot a three. You know what I'm saying? It's so far away, but it's all good. But yeah, Boston's great.
Is the jig hovering, though? Is the jig hovering on Team USA? Are we going to bring it home or not?
I think they will. I honestly think they will. I feel like what's going to happen, I think it will be Canada that they face if they don't have to. I mean, I feel like that's how it will work based on the quarterfinal matchups. I feel like when it comes down to those two matchups, I feel like, and it sucks. It's crazy to say, but like, I do believe that I think it's going to be a lot of Spoelstra's assistance in that game. Kerr's going to have to listen to that man because that's a legend sitting behind him. So you're going to have to listen to whatever he's got to implement as far as rotations, as far as defensive schemes. Like, you got to respect his mind too. So if he can get that right with him, the talent will figure out itself. And I think that with whatever the rotations are, it'll work itself out.
Yeah, I think that's
it. Darnell, how you feel, Darnell, man? I mean, I think they're going to take it, Darnell. Austin Reeves, though, how do y'all feel about Austin Reeves going into this season? He's going to come back. Whether they win this or not, he's coming back with a level of confidence that he didn't have before this FIBA World Cup. Like, I'm seeing the dog come out of Austin.
Man, you know, I'm an Austin defender because he part of that Perkland Gold family. But I think they're going to take it. I want our bigs to play more consistent. Like, what the hell was Jaren Jackson doing? Pablo,
he's a foul machine.
Like, come on, man. Like, I mean, Josh Hart was in the game running cardio. He had a donut on the board. So, like, we can't have that type of stuff. But I think they're going to be good. The one thing I like that this is doing for Austin, and we talked about this in the playoffs last year, we was on the show, was this is going to give Austin some miles, bro. It's going to get him. It's going to get his legs better for them deeper runs in the playoffs. I felt like Austin lost gas towards the end of the playoffs because he had never went that far in his career. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So playing in the world, you know, in the FIBA, I think that's going to help him with his conditioning. And then we're a lot deeper than we were last year. So as long as we can keep the big, you know, the big three healthy, I think the sky's the limit for the Lakers this year, too.
Hey, yo, let me say this real quick.
Let me say this real quick.
You got it, Miles.
I'll say this, right? We look at the FIBA and then obviously how it affects the season. I'll say this, right? Granted, like, narratives and everything like that, of all of the players on this team and how it impacts it moving forward, I think this affected people greatly the most for these three players. I think Austin Reeves showcased himself this run with FIBA, like, yo, I'm solidified, I'm solid, like, he's good. Anthony Edwards, what he's done this offseason or with this FIBA run, he's going to be a name probably this year, but everybody's expecting him to drop 30 a game just based off what they call FIBA.
I see him having a – I see him averaging 28, 29, 30. And like me and Anthony said this on a previous show, this is going to be the season where Karl Anthony Towns is going to have to take a slight back seat and say, look, this is – it was – I already say this. I'm documented on Twitter. You got the receipts from like a year or so ago. I already knew this was Anthony's team. This was Ant-Man's team a year and a half ago. But the world did, the world sees it on score. But now going back home after this FIBA, he going to rest up a little bit. We got training camps in the NBA starting soon. Cat, it's time to step aside. We're not saying you got to let's go back to just being 18 point per game. You still can give him 22 and 12. You should be 22, 23 and 12. But you got to let – I see some 06 D-Wade and Ant-Man right now.
I see that. So I'll say them two players, this FIBA run has affected the most. And then the third person I'll say is Paolo, because you can tell he's been in the gym doing his work all summer, which you don't see from many young players of his caliber who got the early round pick. They solidified themselves. He won Rookie of the Year. So it's like you can tell he's been in the lab, bro. So I expect big things from Paolo too.
The thing about Paolo that I love, he's only 20 years old, but that body and that 6'10 frame with that skill set and footwork. Because if you go back and watch the tape at Duke, his one and done year at Duke, Paolo, he had nice footwork as a teenager. He had nice footwork as a kid. So now, like you said, at that 6'10 frame, he's the same size as a Karl Malone, as a damn near like a Kevin Garnett size. Like, he's a nice size power forward, but he plays like a guard. So I think I think Paolo can take a step this year. He can average 26 this year, 25, 26 for Orlando.
Easy. He surprised me. Yeah, he definitely can. I don't know how much they're going to win, but he definitely can. Because when I saw him his rookie year, I watched him play a couple games. They don't come on TV much. But I saw his fluidity, like on the perimeter. Like, you got to put somebody on him that's big, but he can get by them. But then a smaller player, he can bump, he can get to the rim on them. I'm like, yeah, he's a 28-point guy eventually. I think this could be his
year. That's one of my.
Hold on one second.
I'm going to ask you this real quick, Cuffs and Morrow. Because you say you don't know how many games they're going to win, right? Let's look at the East. With the Magic and, you know, the Pistons, do y'all see any teams being a sneaky play-in team this year that may not have been in the past?
Yo, I actually think that's going to be the Orlando Magic, the Brooklyn Nets, because I like Anthony Black. I like the Anthony Black pick that they made. Howard will help them. They got Wendell Carter already down there in Orlando to go with Paolo. They got Franz Wagner, who I think is like one of the most underrated players in the league. And like the coaching staff, Mosley doing a good job. Jock Vaughn doing a great job in Brooklyn. And shout out to Harry Giles, man, the Winston-Salem kid, the legend from Winston-Salem.
Looking good.
Harry Giles, congratulations, my brother. 1 year deal with the Brooklyn Nets. He over there with Dennis Smith now. Ain't that crazy that two guys that play AAU basketball in North Carolina on the same team in Brooklyn, man?
No, we got to get Harry on here.
It's exciting to watch, man. They got a lot of like storylines between them and the draft picks with like Derek Whitehead. He came off injury hungry. They got a lot of solid like role players and people that could really, really make some noise. I like that roster.
They're gonna be a pesky team. We got Reverend Mikey Jett from Chicago pulling up right now. Reverend Mikey Jett.
Real.
Unmute your mic, Mikey. You live on app right now.
Yo, what's up, bro?
What's good, brother?
Mikey, what's good, bro?
What's good, bro? Chilling. How y'all doing, man?
Bro, we feeling good, man. We had Milton Williams on talking a little football. We getting some bets ready for my bookie. Sir? Deion Sanders getting it spicy this weekend for the culture. Team USA taking the L. It's getting spicy, man. The regular season coming.
Dude, on Lithuania was being disrespect. We wore a USA hat. They were celebrating. Dude, back down Austin Reeves and let him know, like, hey, homie, I know you feeling good because you just got paid, but you need to get in the weight room, little man.
Lithuania, you got, can you blame them? Hey, look, we are the Super Bowl for everybody when it comes to basketball. Mm-hmm.
So, oh, yeah, of course.
For sure.
I see your boys. The Maple Leafs got it cracking and made the Olympics. The Canadian boys, man.
Oh, hey.
Your boy Dylan Brooks hit a big three. He was talking real spicy, man.
Villain Brooks. His name is Villain Brooks now, y'all. We calling him Villain Brooks now.
Oh, yeah. And since I, you know, wasn't on the last, you know, episode because I was, you know, a little busy or whatever, man. Well, man, I've got to get on this motherfucking ref, man. Hey, man.
Eric Lewis.
You cheating ass motherfucker. No, I want him to hear this. Wherever he at, you little bitch. You got off easy. Everybody, see, he got exposed when that bullshit happened. See, look, niggas knew what happened when LeBron. Everybody saw what happened. Jason Tatum clearly fouled the shit out of LeBron. They didn't call the call. Then Patrick Beverly telling him, like, bro, what you doing? And you just going to give him a text. It was just so much cheating shit on. Then when you read the tweets that he was actually seeing from his account and the fact that he was a well-known Celtics fan, connected to the Celtics, like, he just was loving the Celtics forever. So he was just like, bro, like, I don't know. I think it's more refs like that too, bro. So they need to just investigate him. They need to investigate a lot of these refs. Could they be fucking up the games? They be picking favorites. You know what I'm saying? Like, and all the players see it, bro. It's just the players can't. They protect the refs in the NBA more than the players, bro. I guarantee you. And we see it all the time. You can't have a conversation with a ref.
Anthony said it. Me and Anthony talked about it on a previous show just recently about that, where being a player in the league, I asked Ant, I said, yo, could you feel like a little bias or favoritism with certain refs or the way they treated certain guys?
Look back in the day. How motherfuckers used to put look when Jordan got upset at a ref. He damn near poked the ref in the face with his finger, talking shit back to him.
Yeah.
And didn't even get ejected out the game. Dude just said, "All right, Mike, calm down, Mike. All right, I got you." Like, wow. So it's like, not only did Mike, and see, that goes back to the discussion. See, and a lot of motherfuckers don't like to hear this, but Mike, not only did he have everybody on his side, he had the refs on his side too. Anytime the refs is fans, oh, Mike, it's clearly on tape hearing refs, oh, Mike, calm down. I got you, man.
So,
Mikey, what you're saying is, I'm sorry I got to do this on the Some Dude Show because I know that KD be listening, but what you're saying is, Eric Lewis got with KD and was like, how you set up this burner account?
I ain't gonna put that on KD. He did that to himself, bro, because you could tell it's like, bro, he went there after all games talking the most shit. If you go look at some of the old tweets from that account, bro, and listen to what he was saying. He was talking spicy at people, like going at them, like, you don't know what the fuck is going on. He going off on motherfuckers on that account.
That's when I tweeted that.
That's why I say they protect the refs more than the players, bro. Because anytime that was a player that did some wild shit, they'd have put them all out there, embarrassed them, blackballed them, all that. But when it's a referee, for some reason, I don't know why, they just protect them to the. It's almost like. They value them more than what's crazy. I hate to say it, they value them more than the king, and that's sad to say.
Damn,
that they value them more than the king.
It's right. It's more about the circumstances. So you got a guy making $35 million a year that's complaining, and some of them do that continuously during the game. And you got a ref. You got this 6'8", 6'9" dude standing over this 5'8" dude. They union gonna be strong in that when they go to the league and say, look, we feel intimidated, or we feel like they're manipulating the game with the Euro stuff, all that kind of stuff. So then when you see those changes, it's because of stuff like that. So when you get that kind of leverage as a referee, and then you have an Eric Lewis situation, or back in the day, what was my man's name? They got the documentary.
Donahue.
Tim Donahue. It's way more. Yeah, it's more of that going on. Don't get me wrong. It couldn't have just been that. Like, why is Scott Foster's name getting brought up in that interview? Mm. You know what I'm saying? In that documentary. Why is Tim Foster's name getting, Steve Foster's name getting brought up? Like, it's smoke where some fire at. Some other guys' name too. I'm not questioning nobody's integrity other than Donnie, obviously, because he admitted to it. But, and Eric Lewis, because he clearly is a Celtics fan. So I'm like, how many games was won or lost when he was refereeing those games on the road or in Boston?
Eric Lewis, I just want to say this before we land this plane. Eric Lewis, my brother in Christ, the jig is hovering. Enjoy the YMCA leagues. Enjoy the church league. Enjoy your time over there in the TU Park and Rec League. I know somebody's still going to pay you off. You still gonna be in some random backwood town cheating your ass off. But we're never gonna forget the bullshit you did, Eric Lewis. The jig is hovering on you. The jig is also hovering. As I land this plane, the jig is hovering on everybody in the media. All you media herbs who hate it, who ostracized and criticized and threw stones at Deion Sanders. I'm gonna leave y'all with that. Apologize to that man. I know it's one day. Tony Brothers, you're next. I know it's one game. I know it's only one game. That's what the haters gonna say. The haters saying shit like, you know, that's not the same TCU from last year. You know,
TCU. No, they beat Nebraska next week.
Yeah,
TCU. You heard it right here. They beat Nebraska next week.
So you hear Darnell Porter, we live. Before I close this, I'm gonna take a bet. I'm gonna put my bet in on my bookie. Make sure y'all head over there. They got a 50% welcome offer plus a $10 casino chip. Plus $10 NFL free play. We got the NFL season coming up. I agree with you, Darnell. I'm going to take those Colorado Buffaloes to go into Boulder next year at home. First home game. They're going to be in there all black. Prime going to come out with eight toes. He's going to be flourishing. He's going to walk out. And that crowd going to be crazy. And I'm putting my money because I hate that I didn't bet. I hate that I missed out on that 20.5, that 20.5 spread. I hate that I missed out on that.
Crazy.
Right. Hey, listen to this. Listen to this real quick, bro. To be honest, depending on where they are that week, they might beat USC, bro. And I'll bet that. I'll bet that. Depending on where they are at that time.
I ain't ready to go there. I'll tell you this.
I lived out there, but I'll never trust SC. I get Caleb Williams is nice. But, yo, like, if they continue playing the way they're playing, bro, they might sneak up on USC and catch them at home, bro.
Shout out to Caleb Williams because yesterday, Caleb Williams for USC, the Trojans, Heisman Trophy winner. He might win it again. Shedeur Sanders might have something to say about that. Travis Hunter might have something to say about that. But there was a throw yesterday from Caleb Williams scrambling. He looked like a combination of Patrick Mahomes, Randall Cunningham, Michael Vick, like Caleb Williams, Shedeur Sanders, that Colorado USC game, we got to find a way to get tickets. We got to find a way to get
tickets. Oh, I'm going to that. Let me say this.
One at a time, y'all. One at a time. Let me say this. We got to find a way to get in the building. I don't care if I got to sit in the nosebleeds. I'm willing to sit in the nosebleed section to see Deion Sanders Buffaloes and the USC Trojans. That's going to be pay-per-view.
We got to see that. We got to figure it out, man. We got time.
Hey, Chris, I'm gone. I'm good. I'm straight. We did. So let me know.
Let Florida State off the hook, bro.
Say again?
I say you got to let Florida State know the jig cover because – Deion told them basically, look, I ain't repping y'all no more. I'm repping the HBCU. And you know, if stuff don't go right in Florida State, they're going to try to circle back when they probably should have gave that man the job in the first place.
That's they got to give point. Him $100 million.
That's a great point. They
got to bag him up.
Florida State, you had a chance to bring home the former Florida State legend, Deion. You had a chance to make it right. You had a chance to bring them back home, but now you got to watch this flourish happen way in Colorado, in Boulder, Colorado. But I appreciate y'all tuning in, man. We got some special guests coming for y'all next week. I know y'all some real basketball heads. That's why I love y'all. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Next week, Tuesday night, 7 p.m., live on the Some Do Show. Me and Anthony Morrow, Lexi Brown should be back. We're going to have Rico Hines, the OG. Y'all know Rico Hines with the Rico Hines runs, the legendary UCLA runs. He's coaching the Sixers now. We're going to have Rico Hines pull up. We also going to have, Who else we got coming up? And we got Joy Taylor. We got Joy Taylor, the wonderful Joy Taylor from FS1. Yes. We got Joy Taylor pulling up. We rescheduled.
Damon Stoudemire.
Yeah, we got Damon Stoudemire rescheduling with him. We still working on J.R. Smith rescheduling. But we got some real basketball conversations for y'all, man. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Once again, like I said, I'm going to be back on AMP tonight at 10 p.m. So like I said, fellas, don't be a gatekeeper. It's going to be R&B vibes on my music show, Pull Up. It's going to be nothing but underrated gems, no mainstream songs, R&B vibes. Mikey Jets might pull up, but we're going to have a nice vibe, man. I appreciate y'all tapping in. Make sure y'all smash that like button. Make sure y'all share the show, man. Let's keep the positive energy going. Let's keep the basketball discourse going. Anthony Morrow, I appreciate you, my brother.
Appreciate you more. Appreciate everybody in the Discord. Appreciate everybody came on the show. Appreciate Milton Williams.
Hell and Tony yeah, Brothers, we coming for you next, nigga.
Yeah, that's my bro, man. But he still got the unibrow. He's like, I had first. AD, what you mean?
Man, that's the worst ref. My worst God. Ref in the league. Worst. Hey, yeah. Tony, every time we saw a game last year, and I'd be like, Tony Brothers reffing the game. Did he not manage to fuck the game up in the end of the game? Every time.
Tony gonna make sure that camera on him at the end. I love Tony, though. That's my guy, man. But
yo, Mikey, before every big game, Mikey would send me a picture of Tony Brothers, and we like, it's going to be some bullshit tonight, man. He was right.
Every time, we're like, it never failed. In the third and fourth quarter, that's when Tony Brothers, if he repping the game, and then don't let it be a game where it's him and Scott Foster. You might as well get ready to get no calls because LeBron don't get no calls.
Don't let it be on ESPN.
Man, hey man, LeBron gotta get stuck in the face to get a motherfucking call for real.
Hey man, coming from Boston, bro, free my man Eric Lewis, bro.
He said free Eric Lewis.
Nobody want to hear that shit.
hey yo, last shout out once again, Milton Williams, Philadelphia Eagles. We gonna fly with the Eagles this year. Anthony Morrow, I saw Uncle Phil in the chat. He said it's going to be a long season for the Carolina Panthers, Ant, but we're going to still ride.
He gave me his blessings, and I said we graciously accept them. Yeah, I'm going to see what it is. Win, lose, or draw, I'm support. You know what it is.
Yeah, we riding, man. We got to ride with Bryce Young. But I appreciate y'all, man. Thank y'all for all support, man. 10 o'clock p.m., come on over. Some Dude at the Dock. Some Dude Show. Shout out to my bookie once again, man. The beautiful partner of the Some Dude Show now. Anthony Morrow, we're going to ride out. I'm going to tell you what, man. We're going to ride out to this future Married to the Game. Milton Williams made this request. What other show takes requests for their special guests? What other show do that? What other show doing that?
That'd be the only show on that.
No other shows doing special requests, intro music, outro music for the special guests. So one more time, man. Shout out to Quentin. I'm sorry. Shout out to Milton Williams, man. Philadelphia Eagles defensive lineman pulling up. Some Dude Show.
DJ Esco, DT, Esco Terrestrial. More money, more problems. More guns, more violence. I beat a couple cases. I feel like done got it. How about a Benz, baby? I feel like God life. I feel like taking some drink right now and pouring it over my niggas. We ain't never turned down. I'm a big dipper. Big tipper. You want it, you buy it, you get it. Cash on the liver. Rosé on my liver. Headshots, headshots for my enemies. Still got a money machine clicking, you know how I kick it, hey. Even a witness gon' see you in the penitentiary, wait. He get it, she get it, they get it too. Lay on you, spray on you, hop in the coupe. You didn't know about my world till I introduce you. You can be sober as fuck, cause money is gon' seduce you. My hustle is gon' seduce you. My vibe ain't none of these niggas comparing to me. Don't none of these niggas compare to me. Most of these niggas are fans of me. I really appreciate it. I really do. Majority bitches ain't loyal, they all done been ran through. I stay at it, get at it, work on it, count up and count up and count up. Maybach and Maybach, I sit back and lay back and flip through the channels.
I flick through the channel, I'm watching the streets and I know I'm the Xander. I'm seeing the anthem, I see the riots, I see an end. I got some homies that just got out, some ones that just went in. The deeper the ocean, the deeper the pain. Blow out the brain, it's with the rain.